Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to Uncharted Living. We are your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are business owners, corporate leaders, and life coaches. Join us each week for authentic, thought-provoking, and entertaining conversations. We'll discuss a variety of topics, from personal wellness and professional growth to creativity and spirituality, all designed to help you create your own map for your life. We are excited to partner with you on your uncharted journey.
Uncharted living, it's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map and live uncharted.
Hello, fellow humans. As Americans, the three of us have been brought up in a capitalist society that profits on keeping its citizens wanting more. The quote, American dream has been one of a single family home, two cars in the driveway, and the ability to make more money than our parents. Today, we are taking an uncharted take on the idea of being rich and introducing the idea of how we are rich in other currencies than the almighty dollar. Hi, Becca and Christine. I'm so excited about this today.
Hi, Ty.
First off, do you guys think that Americans specifically, you know, in the idea that we're talking to the whole world right now in our podcast, are Americans more obsessed with money than the rest of the world? What do you guys think?
I was in Italy a few months ago, and there's no like, they kind of look at you funny when you want something to go. Right? Like a coffee to go. They want you to like stand at the counter and enjoy it and like be with people. And that's just different. You know, for Americans, it's like, who's got the time to do that? You know,
the first time I ever went to Italy and saw the culture that you're walking, of course you're walking, you're not in a freaking car all the time. You walk, you pop into the cafe. It's actually a cafe because why? They serve coffee. Not like all these ridiculous banana bread muffin supersize American things. And then you just sip your coffee standing and you maybe chat to somebody and then you go on your way.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's in a rush.
Yes, all that. And also like the portion sizes. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
No.
Okay, well you should. 100%. 10 out of 10 recommend.
0%. Yes. I refuse. I saw the first three and I cannot stand it.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
This last episode, I'm still going to reference it. Really? For everyone at home who does.
I'm in the minority. Everyone listening probably loved the show and you get to like the show.
Yeah. There was this scene, I'm not giving anything away, but when this is released, it'll be a few weeks out. So, Ted Lasso actually goes to like an American bar in Amsterdam, like an American restaurant. And it's ridiculous because everything is like, you know, accentuated, right? And everyone's like in cowboy gear and like saying like howdy and all this stuff. But the absolute like ridiculousness of the portion sizes is like on steroids, right? So like everything comes out and it's like this giant mountain of, you know, onion rings, and then like the glasses everyone's holding are like fucking huge, you know? And it just, to me, that kind of plays into this a little bit because we're always wanting more. We're always wanting like for it to be something that maybe doesn't need to be.
Right. Sometimes more is not more. Sometimes more rings doesn't lead to more happiness. It just leads to a bigger stomach ache.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you're eating fast too. You're sort of expected to eat like a giant portion and to eat fast so you can get on to the next thing, because God forbid you like linger over your meal, then you might be called lazy. We love to throw around the word lazy. Like if you're not hustling, you're lazy, or if you're not, and they're all really kind of interconnected with how we eat and how we spend time or not spend time and how we vacation and you know, the kinds of jobs we have and then the second jobs we have and the third jobs we have and then the side hustle we have. And, you know, it's a lot. So yeah, much different.
It is a lot. And I'm so interested in, you know, I would love for our non-American listeners to drop us a line on our Instagram or any of our socials and give us their take on, you know, America's obsession with bigger, faster, stronger, more money, less time, more money, work harder. Like, when does it end?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just it. That's exactly the question. When?
Right.
I think that's the point that we're, at least I think that's like kind of what we're asking is like, when do you allow things just to be enough?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, and I'm thinking that you have to make your own idea of what is enough, because what we're saying is we've been kind of spoon fed. Money is the thing that you need. I mean, speaking for myself, growing up in the 80s, it was like, you want the big house, you want the fancy cars, you want all the things. And actually, it was so funny. The first time it really, really dawned on me is I was living in Ireland during college for a year. This is in 1994. And I was watching British TV. I had never watched British TV. This is like kind of pre-internet watching YouTube, like around the world TV. And I was watching a show called EastEnders. Have you ever heard of the show? All of my British and all of our Brits and all these guys know this is a very long running show. And I couldn't understand what I was looking at, like why it was not clicking in my head. And finally, it was because all the people on the show were not rich and like perfectly beautiful. And I had never seen that on TV in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, I was literally, if you YouTube, guys at home, our fellow humans, if you go in YouTube EastEnders 1994 and then YouTube Friends 1994 or Beverly Hills 90210, because that was a real thing I was really watching.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like, look at the difference between we're a culture obsessed with youth and money. They're everyone's young. And I was like, what is different about EastEnders? Oh, they're not all rich. They're in a pub. Somebody's a mailman instead of, you know, a billionaire. And they're not all young. They're just a range of like ages that was so refreshing and so actually strange to the imprint that I had in my mind for my whole life.
Yeah. This is why I like to watch British baking show. The Great British Baking Show. Love it. Everyone is very regular looking. I mean, with some exceptions, of course, but like, you know, just they look like regular people. They're not all youthful. They certainly come from all different backgrounds. And I think the biggest thing is that they go on because they love it. And I remember the first time watching with my kids and they're like, well, what's the prize at the end? I'm like, bragging rights. That's it. They do it. They don't win any money. They don't. It's just nothing. I mean, can you imagine a competition show in America in which you're like, well, just congrats. You get bragging rights. Like it would never happen. Even if it was like $1,000, people wouldn't watch it. Right. It has to be like, who wants to be a millionaire? And then who wants to be a like 50 billionaire? I mean, it's even in the way we consume entertainment and the way what we think of as entertainment, no one does anything. I shouldn't say that, but a lot of the entertainment is not for the pure pleasure of it and not for just like doing what they want to be doing and helping people. It's always for like a prize. And it's never just like self-satisfaction of doing the thing. So I do love that show. And just real quick about 90210 and Melrose Place. So my parents, had a Bible study at their home, when I was growing up. And while it was happening, my sisters and I and all the friends, the kids that, you know, whose parents were in the Bible study, we would all be in my parents' room watching 90210 and then Melrose Place. And then every week they would want us to come out because they would do like communion in the Bible study. And we'd be like, damn it, we're still watching Melrose Place. We're not coming to communion because we still needed to watch 90210 in Melrose Place. So to this day, I don't think they knew what we were watching or whatever, but we'd always really slow walk going out to participate in the last prayer in communion because we were very invested in 90210, then followed by Melrose Place. When my sisters listen to this, they will appreciate it. And I was the oldest and I was still like pretty young, but then my youngest sisters were like, it was definitely not appropriate for them to be watching. But anyway, but then we would pray and it would be fine. So
yeah. I mean,
all good. All good.
So you guys, let's talk about a different currency. Since money is a thing that we're never going to have enough of. Why? Because, you know, TV says it's never enough. More, more, more. More money, more stuff. What else can we use as a form of currency to count our riches, to make us wealthy besides money?
For me, it's health right now.
Mm-hmm.
Having my health, being almost 100% pain-free after being in pain for so long,
mm-hmm.
I could lose everything tomorrow. But if I was not in pain, I would still count myself rich, truly.
You say when you could lose everything, you mean all your money.
I mean all my money and my stuff. Yes. As long as I could have my family, my friends, and my health, it's worth more than anything. And I gave up a lot of money to heal myself. You know, I had to take time off and all of that.
Yeah.
But the reward was so much richer. And so now, and I used to think it was sort of an older person thing, right? They're like, well, if you don't have your health, you've got nothing, or excuse me. But if they're blowing out their candles, they wish for, you know, health and happiness. And I always thought that was weird because it's like, why wouldn't you wish for a pony, or why wouldn't you wish for, you know, a car? But I get it now, having been through it. It's really, to me, that's my number one currency right now. Is health. Am I healthy? Are my kids healthy? And, you know, are my parents doing okay? And all of that. That's most important.
And Christine, just to be clear, when you say health, do you mean the marker of being out of pain, or do you mean the marker of running 10 miles a day? Like, what is health to you?
Well, obviously I'm super sweaty. Yeah. Obviously I'm super sweaty because I just ran a 5K before. No, do not run. Health is, it's kind of twofold. So it's a really interesting question, because for me personally right now, it's being out of pain because I was in pain for so long, but it is also, being able to move my body in a way that I want to move my body. So if I want to go for a run, which I'll never want to do, but if I did, I could do it, right? If I wanted to do yoga, which I do every night, I can do that. It's not limiting. My health is no longer standing in the way of my experiences. So that's really it. It's not actually like, what's your BMI and what do the charts say? It is, how am I feeling? Am I pain-free or relatively pain-free? And am I able to do the things that I want to do to enjoy life?
Yeah, because it's so funny. We're coming full circle. In my mind, I'm feeling like, as Americans, we've even like hijacked health, because every time I turn on anything, it's like, do you want to perform like you used to? Do you want to feel the way that young people feel? Like, it's, again, health is like over-marketed in my perspective. So it's interesting, when we are talking about health, we are not talking about feeling like you're 16 until you're 80.
It's such an interesting one too, because like for how obsessed we are with like quote unquote health and wellness, like we are some of the sickest and least, and like, and also like healthcare in general is just like so hard to access. And don't even get me started on health insurance. I will literally, I go to a 10 real quick on that one.
Yeah.
Such a ripoff. I can't. Yeah.
That's where my money is. It's in the healthcare to doctors. Yeah.
But when you're talking about like other currencies, I mean, it's funny because as I was preparing for this, that was one of the things that came up was health. I mean, that is something that you hear people in later years say often is, you know, now that I've worked this hard, all of a sudden, like you work so hard to get to a certain level and then you work really hard at that level. And then when you retire, this is just like a story that you see a lot. I have seen a lot is then people will, because they've like slowed down finally, their body has time to catch up and they start to really notice and have a lot of ailments. And then like their health becomes like the next thing that's like really priority. If you don't have that, you can't enjoy the fruits of your labor. You can't enjoy the money that you do have. And I'm not saying like, I don't think any of us is going to sit here and say that money is bad. Like we're not saying don't want it, but we are just pointing out that there are so many other ways in which you can feel the richness of life along the way. So what we're offering is like the concept of like, how can you tap into that now in these other capacities?
Yeah.
And one for me is, I mean, I have a list here, but one for me is time feels like the easiest one, the most obvious, like having time to do the things you want to do. But a really important one for me is chosen family. Like that to me makes me feel so wealthy to know that I have chosen family that choose me and that did not grow up with me or not my family of origin, but like family that is like, we're ours and we're yours. You know, that is a rich pool to be in.
Becca, and can you say more to everybody who's listening? I feel like the vernacular of family of origin and chosen family has just like appeared in the past couple of years. Can you tell people what you mean by family of origin and chosen family?
Sure. Family of origin is the family that you grew up with. That doesn't necessarily mean biological family. There are a lot of people who grow up with family or with people who are not biological to them. So that's the distinction, I think, is largely like who you spend your time with or who took care of you, who was around you during your adolescent, like childhood and adolescent years. Mm-hmm. And chosen family is like you don't really often as a child have a say in that. I mean, there's you're either born into the family you're born into, or there's scenarios in which like you have to live with a certain household or a certain person for a certain extent of time. And, you know, as kids, we don't really get a lot of choice in that typically. I mean, there might be a scenario in which you would, but that's kind of what I'm, yeah, that's what I mean by family of origin is like you, this was your environment growing up. Chosen family is when you reach a level of being able to choose who you spend your time with, and that can happen at different ages for different people, but there's, you recognize at some point you have choice of who you invest that time into and who is going to be there for you, right? So, I mean, that's been part of my growth journey of like figuring out and really getting honest about, you know, what does that look like? So
does that, just to clarify, I mean, I have some questions and also I'm sure our listeners do. What would be the difference in calling someone a chosen family versus I have really good friends? Like, is the chosen family, that's who you do holidays with? Is that your emergency contact? Like, what's the distinction, if there is one?
for you, Becca?
I love that question. Yeah, of course. You're right. Everyone has their own experiences. That's a really good distinction. I think chosen family for me is the people that, yeah, I, okay. So a couple of things are coming up. I mean, emergency contact is one. Like I'm married into a family that I would consider my chosen family now, because I chose that, right? I chose to get married. I chose to be a part of that. Part of that is also just the mirror that I get from them, right? That they have so beautifully welcomed me. It's mutual. It feels mutual. Chosen family feels mutual on some level. So it's holidays when you're able to, not always, but it's like intimate moments that you choose to spend a certain amount of time with one another. And in a lot of ways, like, okay, our furnace went out. There were a number of people that reached out and were like, come, you have a place to stay while you get your furnace fixed. Like, come stay with us. To me, that was those were the people mostly, I would say. There's a handful of friends that reached out and said that, but it was like my chosen family. It's like, we're there for one another. Mm-hmm. Like, when they got married, we busted our asses to, you know, help them prepare, right? It's that kind of thing where you show up for one another and you do that stuff without any transactional expectation. Mm. That's chosen family to me.
Is it, would you, I know that we're going a little bit off topic, but I'm really interested. And I think this is a really interesting concept for our listeners. Do you think that people should start using the words chosen family or seek out a chosen family or know that they have the option of doing that if, you know, primarily if their relationships with their current family are distant, non-existent, fraught? I mean, or can you have a chosen family in addition to your family of origin?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. I mean, I think both could be true for sure. Yeah. You have your, I mean, on some level too, like your family of origin, like you at some point as someone who's able to make your own choices still choose to be involved in that. Like that could also maybe fall in the category. I'm really careful to say like anyone should do something, because I don't know their situation. I don't know their circumstances, but for everyone listening at home to think of it to be able to, choice is such a big thing here. I think choice is something, when we talk about currency, choice is a big piece of that. Like when you feel like you have the freedom to choose in a lot of different ways, but choosing the people that you spend time with and have that intimacy with in terms of familial connections, that's a huge, it could be something to consider if it's not something that you have in the past.
And what we're doing, I feel, is in an uncharted way is, okay, so say I have, you know, X amount of dollars in the bank, and I definitely don't feel rich. But what you're saying is you feel rich in the chosen family support that you have, no matter how much money in the bank.
Yeah. And I would say like no one in my circle is sitting on a ton of money either that I know of, but it's just... That's not the point, right? The point is that like whatever resources we do have for one another, we would be there to offer that. So there's a different tone to that than just, it feels like support. It feels like connection. And I guess on some level, safety too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, there's the different energy of, I have to leave my home because my furnace is broken. Am I going to go to the warmth of this person's house? Or I have to leave my home. Am I going to use dollar bills to go to a Stark, you know, hotel? I just feel like there's like an energy difference in that. And the one that feels warmer and more comfortable is not the one that coincides with money.
Mm-hmm. Mm, interesting. Yeah. What about you, Ty? What's a currency other than money that you can talk about?
The first one that comes to mind is the unending love for our dogs.
Yes.
And the reciprocated love that they give us. So I'm not saying we don't spend money on our dogs. They're very expensive. However, the currency of love that they give to us, energy, affection, warmth, and then this what we give them back in reciprocation, it feels like what we always talk about, you know, the energy that cannot be destroyed or created. It's just flowing. Mm. And when all six of us are home, you know, my wife, my two kids, and our two dogs, it's like everybody's just moving in and out. And we learn so much from the dogs. I mean, everyone says like, oh, get a dog so your kid will learn responsibility. And I'm like, fuck responsibility. Get a dog so your kids learn love.
Yeah.
They love us in a way that is so kind of one-sided. Like they depend fully on us for their entire things, food, shelter, all the things. And we also require of them the opposite. That's what I mean by one-sided. Does that make sense? Kind of. It's just like they're always there for the snuggle, for the fun, for all things good. And we're always there to take it and give it back. And so there's just like, there's no logic to having a dog. It's kind of like having a kid. You'll monetarily, it's not a win. You put in more than you get out in terms of money, but it's the word invaluable means, you know, at such a value that it's impossible to quantify. So, you know, you have dogs for the same reason, you know, sometimes some people have kids because you just want to, and it's not a good investment, y'all. Like you should go and, you know, learn about stocks and real estate. If you actually want your money to grow, do not get a dog. But if you want this kind of different relationship with another living being that won't, you know, ever talk back to you. It's the way to go. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm going to add, also get a cat because they're pretty great too. It's a little bit more two-sided. That one's a little bit more two-sided in terms of like, you know, they might be a little bit less up for the party at all times, but they're also really snuggly and great. So get a pet.
Yeah. Well, I think that. I've heard both of you say this so many times of like animals invite you to just be in the moment. So like they're always just present, right? So that's a form of currency. When you can tap into presence, you get to enjoy the now, right? Yeah. This moment, instead of hoping you'll enjoy the moment in the future or regretting that you didn't enjoy it in the past or reminiscing about, wasn't that so? I mean, I'm not saying anything like don't reminisce, but you know, when you're living in the past, it's a regurgitation of something maybe that you enjoyed in the past. Where if you can be in the moment and really enjoy what's happening around you and the connections that you're making, that is 100% currency. Yeah.
Well, what's coming up for me is so interesting is a lot of times in the backyard between, you know, we have a home office and you have to walk 20 feet through our backyard to get into our office space. But a lot of times you'll be stepping over a dog who's just laid out in the sun, like other people in other countries in my mind are, you know, taking a siesta, not trying to freaking do their monetize their freaking hobbies at all times. And I'm like, that's what relaxation looks like. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a reminder of this is what you need as a living animal. These are what living animals do if they're not watching Beverly Hills 90210. It's how all these social constructs and noise of the whole world, this is what an animal does. They play, they eat, and they rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to clarify too, though, for our listeners there, we are not, again, saying money is bad, and we're not saying it's bad to like monetize stuff, or if you want to work a lot, if that brings you actual joy, great. If that brings you energy, if your work, you know, brings you a sense of purpose and connects you and you feel like that's your jam, great. What we're talking about is, you know, work for the sake of work just to make money where you're actually feeling drained. And so we want you to look for, you know, other opportunities to feel rich besides just, you know, work. So if that is your jam and you're cool with it, like more power to you. But I think for a lot of us, it's draining and, you know, you kind of come up short all the time, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, et cetera, even if your bank account is huge. So, and I was going to talk about another currency is healing in a way. So I've done a lot of physical healing. I've done a lot of emotional healing, and it's allowed me to sort of expand my connections with new people, which is great. Like I got to meet you guys and other groups of people. It made me more open to different experiences and different people, which led to more connections, like in real connections, like deep connections. And so those connections to me make me feel, I mean, like an embarrassment of riches. And then also it's allowed me to have better emotional connections with my children, right? With my spouse, with my family, with my friends. And I think just kind of getting to the place where I can be fully present, right? Figure out what's important or not important, not be in the like, you know, kind of robotic or like zombie, like, okay, I'm just working all the time and I'm working all the time. But I feel so much more expansive and able to have better connections with people and deeper connections. And that's worth whatever, $100 squillion to me is to have those. And they're healthy, right? I mean, they're healthy. They're not without their issues, but for the most part, I have such healthier emotional connections, and especially with new people now, and especially with my children, which I'm so grateful for. And that's worth every dollar I've ever made.
I'm curious. I have a question on that, because I think for a lot of people maybe listening at home and myself in certain points in life too, I can think back of like feeling isolated or feeling like I didn't know where to go. And you were in this pain journey of really feeling so isolated and so alone. And you were repeatedly told that what you were experiencing wasn't real. And so what did it take for you to begin that process of healing that allowed you to tap into some of these larger connections eventually? But I mean, if someone's sitting at home and they're like, well, that's great for you that you have so many connections and like you guys have some chosen family, like, wow, amazing. Like, how does someone start that when they realize that that is a currency, that is a currency they'd like to have, but they don't know how to get it?
Great question. And I think at its simplest is you start, and we've talked about this in other episodes, but you quiet down and you trust and you listen to your intuition. And it's not to for intuition to make this big giant change. It's just sort of like, okay, does that sound interesting? Let me say yes to that. Let me just make little teeny tiny baby steps, or we've called it, or Martha Beck calls it turtle steps, right? It's just kind of like just choosing to show up every day a little bit differently than you showed up yesterday. It's, they're tiny, but the more that I decided to just show up, and some days that meant just like getting out of bed. I'll be honest, folks, like some days just getting out of bed was all, that was my biggest accomplishment of the day, right? But when I started to really think about, you know, it's so gradual. It's so gradual. We're not on this like quick fix program, right? Becca didn't just decide, okay, I chose a family and she interviewed three people and that was it, right? It's like, right? Or I just woke up and was like, yeah, it's time to get out of pain. And then these are long, very, you know, grueling journeys. But I think the one constant is that I just kind of kept showing up and sort of leaning into my own intuition, which meant kind of quieting down, like just looking at my life and making decisions independent of the pain that I was in. I almost think, right, like saying, okay, even if I wasn't in this pain, could I maybe try this? Could I maybe be open to this? Could I maybe sign up for this? And that has in turn let me take this random life coach class, right, online. and then it's just opened up, which is in turn has given me more energy, which in turn has given me more joy, which in turn then allows me to keep showing up and keep showing up. So I think just staying faithful to showing up, and not in the same way every day, but kind of being guided by trusting yourself, kind of looking more outwards instead of just inwards all the time and sort of turning in, you know, folding into yourself. You're just taking that step will sort of count as like 50 steps in the long run, if that makes sense.
Well, Christine, tell me where I'm wrong. I feel like what you're saying is put a little bit of distance between what you thought yesterday and what you think today. And part of that goes along with our kind of what we've been told to think, right? Like what the commercials tell us to think, what our, in your case, what your doctors were telling you to think. And in this case, for our listeners, listening to yourself and making a little bit of room for yourself every day can make a big difference over a span of time. And also, it's not just physical pain. We're talking about emotional pain, healing from traumatic events. And that is not, again, that's, we're not, we're sold constantly quick fix, quick fix, quick fix. You know, this diet, this pill, this program. I mean, it's every freaking day on in every way that you know, on the radio, it's like, have you ever thought of replacing all your teeth? And I'm like, no, what the fuck? Like, I've never thought about replacing. And then
all at once?
Yeah, one day there's a commercial on the radio right now. And Heather and I are like, have you heard this commercial? We're like, who the hell thinks, like, who wakes up? It's just, I I think the uncharted currency aspect of what we're talking about is like, what's your currency? What really makes a difference in your life? What do you value? Because it's not going to be what your neighbor values or your family of origin values, or especially what, you know, mainstream America values. I mean, no, I did not ever think of replacing every single one of my teeth. Like, that's not an idea that I had. But because I'm being marketed like constantly, I'm like, what? You know, so it's a lot of this, what we're talking about in terms of currency, I'm hearing in our conversation, is a lot of blocking out what we've been told to value.
Oh, okay. I have to say this. Yes. Because one of the things I think that has like blocked me the most throughout my life of tapping into some of these other currencies is looking around and seeing what everyone else is fucking doing and being like, well, they're doing that. Mm. If they're doing that, then I should be able to do that. And I'm talking about the dumbest things sometimes. Like, you know, this whole idea of like comparison and that, like, you know, if we're quote unquote in a, I don't even know how to really put words to this. I just really want to hone in and recognize that what you just said, because what you just said was everyone listening at home, the three of us have really had to go out and be really uncharted about the ways in which we tap into our own currencies. And those look very different. For Christine, that looked very different than that looked for, you know, you, Ty, and even me. So we've each had to go do that. But one of the things we had to let go of was like what the experts sometimes were telling you, right, Christine, or what the community I grew up in was telling me, or what, you know, like we had to let go of some of the constant advertisements, quote unquote, I'll use them, of like the scripts that we were familiar with that eventually we realized weren't working for us. And that is a really hard thing for people to do. I think when we're talking about like in our coaching spaces, that's a lot of what we're doing, is helping people let go of some of those things that really keep them from tapping into these currencies that give you an amazing quality of life. And isn't that what we're all here for? Like, don't we all want to feel good and enjoy this life?
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yes. And it's hard to even understand or recognize that it's not money that makes us rich. It just isn't. There's so many rich people, rich in money, who are poor in other things. And because we live in this super uber, you know, buy, 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 more, more, more country, I want to kind of give our listeners what I think a lot of the world already has, is to look, like, take a step outside the American culture and look at it from the outside and look at, like, why do you need that many pancakes? That's going to, like, it's too much. It's just, I remember being in another country, and I don't know which one, and I don't know who said this to me, but somebody just said, in America, are the cars really that big? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But if you go to other countries, or if you just Google, you know, cars of other countries, they're way smaller than our cars. What other country are people driving, you know, F-150s? They're giant. We have giant everything. And yet we are told we need more always. So I love the idea of giving everybody a different measurement, a different yardstick to measure how rich you are, because if we're only going to talk about money, that's a never ending hedonic treadmill. Like, you're never going to have enough. So this is, I think, the kernel of our conversation is what space can we lend to the idea of feeling rich?
Well, it really comes down to, honestly, I think just a handful of things that are connected, right? Your own autonomy, right? We've talked about your ability to make choices for yourself, your relationships. I mean, ultimately your relationship with yourself, but your relationships with your family, friends, loved ones, your health. These are kind of like the basics that should be, they weren't as aware, you know, evident to me, I think, because I was also in the, like, climb the ladder and do the things and do all the things. And then even your side things have a side thing. But also understanding the beauty of time and the richness of time in being able to just have a little margin. So, those things are just worth so much. What do you guys think?
And even the little things, I like what you said, Christine, those were like the big things, right?
Yeah.
Like relationships, freedom, but even little things, you know, I feel so content and joyful when our family loves funny stuff, funny movies, funny TV, you know, it's wildly inappropriate for children, but we don't actually care because we're in for the goof, you know? Yeah. And so we have all these kind of funny quotes that we say and these inside jokes. And at some points, not every time, but at some points, I just am like, this is what it's all about. Just like having this language with the four of us of, you know, this SNL skit. Okay, another thing you can YouTube for everybody, YouTube new normal SNL skit, and it's during the pandemic and they're having this socially distanced, you know, dinner outside, and Kate McKinnon gets all ramped up as only she can. And she's like, we don't have these things. We don't have a deck. We don't have outdoor lights. We're not rich. And so, you know, every time I make that walk home through our backyard and all of our solar lights are on, I'm like, oh, definitely rich.
Definitely.
And it just gives me almost every day I have the thought, I am rich in outdoor lights. So I just really want to give that to our listeners. Like, what are you rich in? And it doesn't have to be these really, like, you can have problems. You can have strained relationships. You can have kids that you're worried about or parents that you're worried about. But there's like, are you rich in outdoor lights? Are you like, what's like the, just, you're rich in something. What's like the weirdest, tiniest thing that you're rich in? What do you guys have, like a really small thing?
Mine's like, just, I'm rich in, I have three sisters who I text with basically every day, and I talk to at least one of them every day. A funny, like, and it's always like a 3-minute voicemail that, you know, one particular sister will always leave. And so, like, 9 times out of 10, if anyone else calls, they're like, your voicemail is full. Your mailbox is full. And when I look at it, it's like 30 messages all from her that are like 3 minutes long, right? Because this is what we do. And I thought about it this morning. I'm like, the richness of my voicemail box, which is just all like funny stuff and deep stuff and, you know, just encouraging stuff. And it just, that's the representation of the emotional connection, but it shows up for me in a full mailbox. So when someone has to text and say, your voicemail box is full, I don't ever get annoyed because I'm like, yeah, that's my sister right there. Fill in my mailbox with 3-minute messages on the daily, which is great.
Oh, okay. You're making me think of so many little things right now that I hadn't considered before we were hit record today. But like, I am so rich in my wife's little like sing-songy jingles that she does all day long, like this morning, just this morning. And she sent me a video of her making coffee in the kitchen. And she was like, I can make myself coffee, you know, and like the whole song. And you're all going to be singing this. I'm sorry for everyone at home.
Oh, we
you're
love
gonna
it.
You're going to be singing this the rest of the day. But it's taking the song and making it her own words is like her expertise. And I am so rich in those little jingles we have now in our house.
Love it.
That is amazing. I think that there is, you know, for anyone at home who might sometimes get annoyed with their partner who they may or may not be living with, cohabitating with, and it's like, all the things, their idiosyncrasies that make us crazy. What are the ones that make us rich that we keep glossing over? And maybe they're, I mean, Becca, my wife, unlike your wife, doesn't have jingles, but she just does like silent things for me all the time. And for our family. I mean, when I see me, I mean the kids, the dogs. It's just like we had the internet guy come so I could have better internet so I could podcast with you. And a podcast makes me rich as well. I'm rich because I just feel like I can say the word podcast. I'm like, oh,
that's so fancy.
It's the ultimate outdoor light.
I mean, I just walked through the house through my outdoor lights to make my podcast. Like, you know, drop the mic. Like, literally, we have mics. We are rich. Like, what is this life we have? We're so rich. So the guy comes over to do the internet and he's like, well, where's the blah, 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 blah? Because words, I don't know, router, these words that I don't understand. And Heather's like, well, I have, you know, the app and the Orbi and the things. And she opens it and I'm like, there's an app for that? Like literally, what are you, what's happening? And she's like, yeah, it's, don't worry about it. I got it. So
love
there's
it.
Just... There's this invisible richness that somebody's doing something for you right now that you don't even know, that just knowing, paying attention, or even saying, I don't even know what it is, but it's making me richer.
Yeah. My my husband and I have been married almost 18 years. And ever since we started dating, and I don't want people to be upset, but he has gotten me
flowers. I hope they are a little bit.
He has gotten me flowers every week since we've been dating.
So, are you serious?
Yep. So I have flowers every single week, and we have been through the best of times and the worst of times, and he doesn't – it's unconditional. He doesn't miss a week. And he likes to put them in the vase and do whatever, like they're there every single day. So no matter what mood I'm in, when I go into the kitchen, there's flowers there. And just no matter what, I mean, we've had, you know, again, good times and bad times, but he's always showed up and done that. And when people have come over and they're like, gosh, you always have flowers. That's really nice. I'm like, yeah, David gets them. He's like, and people will say, he gets them for you. Every week. You guys have been married forever, and he has, and I feel very, very, very rich in that kind of service, him showing up every single week, no matter what we're going through, no matter if he's angry at me or I'm angry at him or whatever. And I just love that. And he does like the coffee thing in the morning too, which is really sweet. Like Abby does, I think, for Glennon, or Glennon does for Abby, or something like that. Whatever. He's my Glennon. Anyway. but yeah, makes me, it's a good visual reminder. And I think for our listeners, if you have family members or friends or a partner or spouse, you know, think about the little things that they do or the big things that they do, that are bringing you riches and making you feel real rich.
Wow, Christine.
You are that
is cool. I'm really glad that you shared that.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the questions that you had asked Ty was like, what riches do we see in each other? Mm-hmm. I really want to do that.
You want to do that? You want to share with everybody?
Real quick.
Yeah, go for it, Becca.
Okay, because I see so much in the two of you, and I feel so grateful to be in friendship with you, in partnership with you, and I see many things, but Christine, one of the things I see in you is the lightness you bring to friendship. You have so many long-term friends in your life that you see regularly, and just the loyalty, the camaraderie, the like shared memories of it is beautiful to watch. Aww. Beautiful to watch. You also are really good at manifesting. Ooh. You're really good at manifesting things.
Okay.
Yeah, you are. Because the second you decided you were going to take control of your pain journey, you literally just said earlier in this hour that you are almost pain-free.
Yes.
You've manifested new circles of friends. You manifested your job. What, do you remember the first conversation we had? Like our first one-on-one session where you were like, you're the first one I'm telling this to. And I think I need to leave my job. And I don't know how to do it. And then like the next week, you're like, oh yeah, I negotiated to go half time. And it's going to be amazing. Like you just like, put it out there and it's returned to you because you're so generous in doing that for other people. You show up for us in amazing ways and in a similar vein.
Thank you. My gosh, Becca. Thank you. Welcome. I feel very rich. I feel like Beyonce rich.
Right now.
Thank you, Becca.
And Ty, one of the things I see in you is your generous spirit. You are always like fully allowing people to show up as themselves. And even in this week in a conversation, you're like, yeah, you can think that way. Even though it was very clear that you disagreed. But you were just like, absolutely bring that to the table. You do you. And that is not a small thing. That is a really big thing. That is a root of richness to allow people to show up fully as themselves. It's such an amazing thing to offer and such an amazing gift. And you give Becca. The second thing is you give people permission to enjoy their life. Mm. Like you're constantly just like, you should enjoy that. Like explicitly will say that you should enjoy that. And for those of us who have like one of my actual goals for this year was just to have more fun. And so I need reminders to do that. And so I'm learning to exercise that muscle and you are helping me learn how to do that. Just enjoy the little things.
This is fun. I want to invite everybody to do this with their friends. Okay, I want to go next. Becca, you are beyond rich in thoughtfulness. You take so much time to think about things on a deeper level than I do. For sure. And it's such a skill that I think, again, in this kind of fast-paced now culture that we live in, you demand more time and think of things that others might not think of. So that is, and that's not something that's advertised. Again, you know, it's not something like, would you like to be more thoughtful? Like, no one's like that. You can't say
that. Boring.
It's always like, would you like to be more productive? Would you like to have new teeth? No, but that is so underrated in our culture, is thoughtfulness. And you have that. And the other thing for Christine that is completely underrated that Christine has is a beginner's mind. Just, what? I don't know how to do that, but I'll do it. Cool. Like, bring it on. Christine has so much willingness to be a beginner that is so refreshing and so lovely and inspiring to me to be like, oh yeah, she can do it. I can do it. She doesn't know what she's doing and I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, this whole podcast thing is way beyond our toolbox. We're using tools that we're just kind of making up as we kind of build this thing and we're doing it together. And the idea that you, Christine, are a lawyer and are like, sure, I'll make some TikToks. No problem. it's just, you are rich in that and you kind of sprinkle those, you could throw coins at us. And I'm like, I'll take them. I'm just grabbing them.
Oh, gosh. I love this. listeners, obviously we're changing the name of the podcast to Mutual Admiration Society Podcast. And yes, do this with your friends. Ty, you are so wise in the most unconventional ways. Your wisdom lies in unconventional ways of doing things, especially with kids, especially in, like, you seem to have the direct line to teenagers these days. And I have benefited more than you could possibly know by our conversations and by your wisdom. And also with the, like, not you should do this and you should do that, like Becca said, just like, here's something and try it. And there's no judgment and there's no like whatever. I've never felt judged. I've never felt anything, but you've just given so many just wise suggestions. And it's been incredible. And I know that if you're doing that with me, you're doing that with everybody. And so just thank you for your wise and generous spirit.
You're welcome.
And Becca, you are like the ultimate calming presence, right? The ultimate just calming presence, and also wise, and like Ty said, thoughtful, but you are so open to help anybody and anyone. And I've sent people to you to just give informal advice and you have embraced it. No questions asked. Just yes, of course. Yes, of course. You just want to help and you just do it in such a beautiful way. That's not like advice. It's just, you're the ultimate, like coming alongside people, which, the world needs. 'Cause so many people are like, I'll be the leader and you can follow me. And you are like, I will come alongside you. And we'll both learn together. And I just love that. So thank you for your presence and both of you in my life. I appreciate it. And to our producer, Steph, we love you.
Yes. Yes. We'll embarrass her with her riches later when, yes. when we're getting So to wrap up, you guys, what can we do, just like a lightning round with what's the one thing, if you're feeling poor, if you can't see your riches, if you're feeling poor, what can our listeners do? What can our fellow humans do in, you know, 2 to 5 minutes to enrich their presence at that moment?
I'll go. One of the ideas, every single one of us has ideas. So whether or not we act on them is another thing, but if you're feeling poor in any of the ways in which we've talked about, if you ask for ways in which you want to tap into some of those riches, you will be flooded with ideas. The trick is just to act on them.
Cool.
Even if you feel scared.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Christine.
Go outside if you can, by yourself. Use your legs if you can, or however you get there. Thank, just be grateful for your health in terms of being able to get outside, breathe the air, quiet your mind for just a few minutes. Look, you know, be in the sunshine for a little bit. And I think also it kind of ties into what Becca is saying, like ideas will come to you. Start kind of like listening for a minute and you'll have an abundance, but just a little sunshine will do wonders. Mm. Not to oversimplify it, but.
Mm-hmm. My quick fix for riches is music. And I resisted getting Spotify for the longest time. And now that I have it, I feel like I'm rich because I think of the 20-year-old me with all the CDs and, you know, the 5-compartment CD changer. And
oh, you were rich. Like,
right? Yeah, I was loaded.
You had the 5. I just had the 3.
I know. And those things break. Okay. So let's not even get into that. But I mean, the fact that I can go on my mini computer phone and go on Spotify and click something and listen to it, to me, I'm rich. I'm like, I haven't heard that Stevie Nicks song in a long time. I'm like, boom. What? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yeah. I want to tell, you know, my 18, 25-year-old self, like, just wait until this happens. You know, like, who would have known that could happen? It's crazy. And even the fact that we have our mixtape, our playlist on Spotify, it's called Uncharted Living Mood Elevator. I love adding to it. I love the idea that folks are going to listen to it and sharing it. And it makes me feel rich to give to other people.
Yeah. And do what we just did. Talk to a couple of your friends and just tell them how they make you rich. And then I guarantee you'll feel rich too in the process. And then maybe make a playlist with them because that's really fun too.
It is really fun. So, Becca, Christine, fellow humans, thanks so much for being here today with us. We hope this conversation, just like Christine said, is part of a larger revolution, and everyone needs to think about the way that they're rich in, not in dollars, but in whatever you have. Everyone has rich in them, and you know, share it with us. We want to continue this conversation on Instagram at Uncharted Living Pod. We are so happy you guys came with us today, and we'll see you next week on Uncharted Living. Bye.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human.
Uncharted.